Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great things you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Folks, I got to tell you, I don't know how to say this, but you got to stand up and get active. Because if you don't, those people in power in Washington, D.C. and other places across the country, they will do anything that they possibly can. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal. Hell, they'll put a child molester in the Senate just to take advantage of you. You got to do something. Don't sit back. Don't say pox on both of their houses. Get active. Do something to make a positive, effective change. That's me. Joining me today, we've got Jim Chase at Cut to the Chase Radio. Jim, welcome back, brother.
Well, thank you, Charles. It's wonderful to be on. And on the upside of that is maybe I can buy some of the Grand Canyon. I hear that in many of our monuments and government land may be for sale.
Yeah, I don't even want to go there.
It's a terrible thing. It is, in fact, deplorable, despicable, and delusional.
Jim, I got to tell you, back in 1984, I was a proud member of the United States Air Force, and I went to Germany, under Ron Reagan's Ground Launch Cruise Missile Program, part of the strategic arms reduction talks, and I stood in Germany, looking across the Fulda Gap at the Russian horde, and part of that Russian horde was a colonel in the KGB. That colonel in the KGB is now the wealthiest man in the world. He's worth $200 billion. His name's Putin. And quite frankly, he owns a bunch of people in Washington, D.C. And those people today are saying, oh, you know, he's the greatest guy in the world, nicest guy in the world, best thing since sliced bread. Putin has one thing and one thing only he wants to do when it comes to the United States, and that is harm us. And what do you say about people that help him do that? I don't know. Jim, I understand you got a guest today.
Sure do. I have Brandon Dillon. He's the chair for the Michigan Democratic Party. Brandon, are you there?
I am. Hey, thanks for having me on again. I always enjoy the chance to talk with you guys.
Brandon, I got to ask you a question. You're chair of the Democratic Party for Michigan. What should we be doing right now? I mean, you know, quite honestly, we got to be doing something, and I'm not sure what the party's thinking.
Well, I'll tell you what we're doing, and you know we have been doing this for about 8 months is organizing on the ground. We made a decision long ago that you know there's some things we can control and there's things we can't control. We can't control Donald Trump's Twitter account. We can't control the pace or the trajectory of the Russian investigation. We can't control the bad decisions that are coming out of Washington and state capitals all over the country. But what we can do is go out and talk to people and try to make sure they're aware of what's going on, ask them for their input, get them engaged, activate them to be ready to go out in 2018 and win elections. And we've been very successful in that. We've been organizing, you know, canvassing, phone banking, and rallies, protests. We've engaged over 3,500 volunteers this year that have never been active before, and we're going to continue doing that next year. We just have to keep having these conversations with people that what is going on isn't normal. Donald Trump and the Republicans in Congress are not out to help you. They're out to help wealthy billionaires like the Koch brothers and Betsy DeVos. And I can tell you the message is resonating. People they understand that there's a difference between the two parties, and we just got to make sure we continue to go out and make our case every day in neighborhoods, communities, and regions all over the country.
Are we, and I say this in totality, those people who are standing up for things other than, you know, sending Roy Moore to the Senate. Are we seeing that more people are getting active, Brandon? Are we seeing that that more people are getting involved or spending more time doing these kinds of things?
Absolutely. We've seen it within the party at the state party level and all our local county parties and clubs, but we're also seeing it with other organizations that have cropped up in the last year or so, whether it's Indivisibles or Forward Action groups, Swing Left. We're actually hosting a United Progressive Summit next week in one of our main competitive congressional districts. We're going to bring together people from the party, but others who have been organizing outside the party for the last year or so to start talking about how we can pool all the energy that we each have individually into one big effort to take back the state of Michigan. It is incredibly inspiring to see all these people out there working, and our job is to make sure we try to get everybody marching in the same direction. But that is not our issue. Activism, candidate recruitment, getting people excited, the base, that's not our problem. What we have to do is make sure we expand those conversations into areas where Donald Trump won or areas where people continue to feel left out of the political process, and we are intent and committed to doing it.
Isn't gerrymandering part of the problem up there in Michigan?
Huge problem. One of the really interesting things that's happened here in Michigan is Michigan's a very difficult state to get issues on the ballot. And we've been talking about gerrymandering and the other voter suppression laws that Republicans have put in place here and trying to figure out how we combat it. And while we were talking about it, a group of citizens went out and just collected over 300,000 signatures to put a nonpartisan redistricting commission on the ballot in 2018. Nobody thought they could do it without getting paid signatures or having some institutional organizations like labor and others get in front of it at the front end, but they did it. And it's because people are tired and fed up with the system that perpetuates people in power who have no relationship to their constituents and only do what their wealthy donor base tells them to do. So we're looking forward to seeing if that ultimately gets on the ballot. It'll have a challenge here in the conservative-dominated Supreme Court, but one thing's for sure, people know this is a problem, and they're willing to take action into their own hands to fix it.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, first of all, is 300,000 signatures enough? And in addition to that, what's to stop them from doing the same thing that snarly downright your governor or whatever and the legislators just saying, oh, okay, well, we'll change the law and then we'll bring it back and we'll put some money onto the legislation so you can change it. I mean, you know, isn't that got Flint?
You're absolutely right. And what they have done over the last 8 years is anytime they pass a bad law, they put an appropriation on it, which is a tricky way to make it referendum proof, but the folks who've gone out and gotten these signatures have done it with the purpose of putting a constitutional amendment on the ballot. So this, if successful, would be enshrined in the Constitution, and the only way to reverse it would be to have another ballot initiative that was successful in overturning it, which would not happen. But it's a higher threshold. They have enough signatures to get it on the ballot as a constitutional amendment, and there'll be some legal challenges here. But look, this is, you know, on our side, we are, at the party side, we are intent on getting Democrats elected up and down the ticket and making sure that we have a Democratic governor and a Democratic attorney general to make sure that we can have a stronger focus on making sure that the lines are drawn fairly if this initiative is not successful.
Jim, on your radio program, you get phone calls you get phone calls from people on the left and people on the right. What are you hearing? And what are you hearing from both sides?
Well, I think I'm always measuring the progress or the deterioration of the present administration. And I'm covering over a few hundred miles, even from Grand Rapids. The regret that some voters have as far as 45 is starting to happen a little bit more, and probably with the tax loopholes and the newest ideas out there for the budget is getting to some of them. I'm getting a hard time, and I'd like to ask Brandon that too. Is there anybody saying, you know what, I made a mistake? I'm getting only a few of them, and the rest of them are just a little bit more quiet because they do call in the show. Had one from about 50 miles south of here call in, and he's softening up a little bit. And he's hated this president from the beginning, but he voted for him then and said he would have voted for him again. And now, as of today, he's starting to think, I don't know if I'd vote for him again because everything is scary. So it's slowly turning, and the pendulum's got to happen in 2018. Charles, it just has to happen.
Well, look, can I add to that? There's a couple things. I was just reading today. You know, Donald Trump came in with a lot of promises that were supposed to help the little guy and the working class, you know, whether it was punishing China, which now has increased its trade deficit with the United States by 8.6% since Trump's been office. There's been 90,000 workers who have been displaced and offshore since Donald Trump has been elected. This tax bill is part and parcel of an agenda that is totally opposite of what he said on the campaign trail.
Well, that wasn't a tax bill. That was a wealth transfer bill.
You got it. Absolutely. Well, it's a tax hike bill on working families in the middle class and a massive giveaway to people at the very top. They're not even – I mean, the Bush tax cuts were bad enough when 36% of the benefits went to the top 1%. In this bill, it's over 68%, and most people under $75,000 a year are going to get a nice tax hike. So people are starting to see through this. We just have to keep – making sure that we are talking to people every day, because what will happen with the Trump administration and his dupes in Congress is that they're going to try to deflect and distract and say things that aren't true and hope that that carries the day. We just have to be extremely dedicated to not letting that get us down and make sure we have the advantage we need to drive it home.
Yeah, and this is an important thing. Listen, we got to take a short break, guys. We'll come back. We'll talk some more. We'll talk about some of the tools and tactics and, you know, quite honestly, why it is so important that Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, everybody gets out there and participates in the elections. It's important, and we'll explain why. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
The U.S. Supreme Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments today in Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, a case that will determine if Jack Phillips, the owner of a Lakewood bakery, was justified in refusing to make a wedding cake for a gay couple because of his faith. Craig Conneth, an associate professor at the University of Colorado Law School, says the court's decision could have broad implications for anti-discrimination laws in Colorado and across the nation.
What this law and laws like it do, they're basically trying to address that history of discrimination and protect LGBT individuals in a range of areas. So if they want to go to the doctor, a grocery store, or a restaurant, this law prevents them from being kicked out.
Colorado law prohibits businesses like Masterpiece from discriminating based on a range of characteristics, including race, sex, nationality, religion, and sexual orientation. Phillips' lawyer claims the baker is an artist and should not be forced to express what the government dictates. An amicus brief filed on behalf of 20 states and a brief from the U.S. Justice Department makes similar arguments. Conneth disagrees and says a cake ordered at a bakery serving the general public does not represent the expression of the shop owner.
When I hire a baker, when I hire someone to make a billboard, I'm not hiring them to give their speech. I'm hiring them so that my speech can be expressed. So I think that they're wrong in saying that this is the baker's speech as opposed to this being the couple's speech.
In the Colorado Court of Appeals 2015 ruling, justices cited a 1964 challenge to the Civil Rights Act where a court ruled that a business owner could not refuse to serve black people based on religious beliefs. Justices said Phillips could voice his opposition to gay marriage on a sign or on the store's website, but picking and choosing customers based on their sexual orientation was against Colorado law. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Somos la Unión Internacional de los Panaderos, Confiteros y Trabajadores de Tabaco y los Molineros de Grano luchando por los trabajos americanos. Nabisco, fabricante de marcas icónicas como el Oreo, Ritz Crackers y Chips Ahoy, ha ganado la fortuna en América y su respuesta patriótica ha sido enviar los trabajos americanos a México. Como resultado, los consumidores en los Estados Unidos siguen boicoteando los productos hechos en México. Ingresos corporativos han bajado en todo Norteamericana. Los consumidores están enviando un mensaje muy fuerte y claro. Ahora los líderes religiosos de todas las religiones a través de los Estados Unidos están pidiendo una investigación del modelo de negocio de Nabisco y han programado un tour de 6 ciudades para investigar el asunto de manera más profunda. En el mismo momento en que las negociaciones de NAFTA están en la mente de todos, la comunidad religiosa comenzará a hablar de los trabajadores, los políticos y otros líderes religiosos con la intención de discutir el exilio de trabajos por Nabisco desde una perspectiva moral y ética y publicarán ampliamente sus hallazgos. El BCTGM y su socio Justicia Obrera Interconfesional piden a toda la gente de fe y conciencia social que se unan a esta lucha contra la explotación por Nabisco de trabajadores en los Estados Unidos y México. Millones ya están boicoteando los productos de Nabisco hechos en México y ya está afectando sus ganancias de la empresa. Únase a nuestra lucha por la justicia moral y económica. Únase a nosotros en www.fightforamericanjobs.com. www.fightforamericanjobs.com.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great things you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters and Teamsters Local 406, and we appreciate their support very much. Joining me today from Cut to the Chase Radio, Jim Chase. Jim, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles. It's wonderful to be on today.
Brother, it's always a pleasure. And Democratic Chair for Michigan, Brandon Dillon. Brandon, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, Brandon, I got to tell you, being part of the Democratic Party is a lot like being in the union. it's like you get out of it what you put into it. And I am constantly looking at people with a cock eye that's like that are out there saying, oh, gee, I really don't like what's going on X, Y, and Z. Well, did you vote? No. Are you registered to vote? No. Have you picked up the phone and called your congressman or your senator and tell them what you think? Nope. And it is beyond, I mean, for me, it's just like, this is mind-numbing. I mean, folks, you know, if you don't participate, if you don't get out on the field, you can't win the game.
Well, they do like to complain from the sidelines.
Yeah, well, too bad. Too bad. So sorry.
You can't score unless you're in the game.
Right. This is a participatory sport.
Well, you're absolutely right. It is. And, you know, one of the things, Charles, that Republicans really do well is they try to depress people's desire to participate in the system by making it seem like everybody's the same. And everybody, you know, no matter what you do, nothing's going to change. And to continue to spread that kind of negative misinformation, even if it hurts their side a little bit, it hurts our side even more. And what I've been trying to tell people is, look, you got to see through that strategy and look at what the two parties stand for. And there's been a lot of discussion about message and what do we do differently and how we separate ourselves. But I think I had Congressman Ellison in Michigan here this weekend, and he laid it out very simply. He said, we already have the message. If you ask people what party supports lower taxes and smaller government, we know they're talking about Republicans. If you know the party that stands up for workers' rights and universal health care, those are the Democrats. And on and on and on, there's enough of those messages that we just need to reinforce with people and let them know, you know, every single day, every time we're having a conversation with them, is that there is a difference. And if you really speak up and activate yourself and go out and register and vote and volunteer and make phone calls, you will be able to make a difference. We saw what happened with the health care bill so far. That wasn't because Democrats had a majority in Congress or the office of the presidency. It's because average citizens who hadn't been active before realized that something they had was in threat of being taken away and got busy and was able to stop this. We need to do the same with this tax bill.
I agree. But I have to say this, that right now, it seems to me that, and I know we tell people every election season, this is very important. It's the biggest thing since, you know, whatever. But it seems to me that if you just simply took a look at what's going on, this tax fraud that the Republicans are putting forward, okay? And I know not all Republicans are for it. But unfortunately, the vast majority of Republicans that have been elected are pushing for it, whether or not their constituents are saying yay or nay, okay? There's a lot of small business owners out there, a lot of veterans, a lot of people that have done pretty well for themselves. They're going to get kicked right in the wallet. And they don't like that idea. And there are a lot of reasonable, rational Republicans all across the United States that know that things like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and the VA hospital are important things. And when they pick up the phone and they call their senator or their congressman, it's like, oh no, get with the party. We have got to get people motivated, get people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, up and saying no in a loud, uniform, single voice. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to have people that are currently elected in the House and the Senate for the United States that are going to continue to just take from us, and they're going to look at it and say, hey, you didn't squawk last time, so I'm going to take even more this time.
Sure.
That's me.
Yeah, you're but don't right. you think
Amen.
Things are bad enough that it would seem like that would get a better voter turnout. I don't know what you think, Brandon, if that's because it's going to be
here's why I'm optimistic. I'm not Pollyannish, but I'm optimistic, and there's some signs. We had elections all over the country last month, and what we saw in Virginia and other ways was, I think, a good sign for people's feelings about the current administration and about what the Republicans are doing. But in a state like Michigan, where we had a number of local elections, they weren't as high profile, and we certainly didn't have the kind of national attention that Virginia got. But we won all over the state, and we did it by increasing turnout in areas that had traditionally elected conservative city council people by making sure that Democrats knew who the progressive candidate was. And we won in areas, for those of you who aren't familiar with Michigan, in a city like Troy, which is a conservative stronghold. We won the mayor's race in Jackson, Michigan, which is considered the home of the founding home of the Republican Party nationally. We won a special election in the Upper Peninsula in a seat that Donald Trump won by 5 points. We won by 15 points. So our folks were ready to come out and vote in this off year. We just got to make sure we keep pounding this message and talking to them so that they stay engaged next year. And if we do, we're going to win.
Brendan, from your lips to God's ears, from your lips to God's ears, man, because this is what we've got to do. And Jim, brother, I'm counting on you to keep educating the public up there with Cut to the Chase Radio, because it is just that important.
You're right. You can count on us.
There you go. Listen, guys, we got to get going. Jim, do me a favor. Stay on the line. Brendan, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.